Chapter 7. Harry can't shake the déjà vu as he sits waiting in the dark. Adrock is 15 minutes late, and he's beginning to wonder why he came. He keeps telling himself to wait another few minutes. Another few minutes. Adrock said he would come. He has it in writing, for fuck's sake. He apologized. He wants to apologize again in person. So where is he? It's not just the waiting, it's the dark. He's alone and wondering and hates it, more with each passing second. He's about to leave when someone taps him on the shoulder. Mr. Potter? Yes? It's a light feminine voice. There's a message for you at front of house. Would you come with me? Harry finds his feet and allows himself to be led through the black maze once more. When they reach the desk, the hostess hands him a folded note. Harry, my apologies again. I've been delayed. If you think you can forgive me, please wait for me in the lounge upstairs. Adrock. He's annoyed and relieved. It's been half an hour. Earlier notice would have been nice. But he's in it now, and he's going to see this through. He looks a little helplessly at the server. My date has asked if I could wait for him upstairs? Of course. She nods and hands him something that looks like a pair of earmuffs. His mind clicks back 10 years. Headphones? Those aren't mine, he says, confused. No, but you'll need them up there, she responds cheerily, and eases them around his neck. Up you go. She points to the staircase on his right. Right, he mumbles. The stairs are shiny metallic, and the walls leading up to the second floor are covered in portraits of Muggle celebrities. When he reaches the top, he sees it's a bar setting. The space is dimly lit, but nowhere near dark. It is also completely silent, save for the glass clinking and bar stools scraping the floor. He's hyper-aware of his own breathing and his uncertain steps. Everyone here is wearing their own set of headphones, so he puts his on. He's surprised to hear music coming through softly. The song is likable enough, a steady beat and pretty lyrics, but he's too distracted to really listen. The sign over the counter reads Silent Bar Menu, and below it there are simple drawings of hand signs for different drink offerings. Now he's in an awkward position. He has no idea what Adrock looks like, so he'll have to wait like a sitting duck for Adrock to come find him. He approaches the bar and catches the barkeep's eyes, choosing what appears to be the easiest sign to make to order his drink. It's whiskey on the rocks for him tonight, on an empty stomach no less. He hops up onto a stool and glances at his watch while longing for the comfort of his own place, where he can mope in peace and sobriety. Then someone at the end of the bar catches his eye. That can't be right. But Harry does a double take, and there's no mistaking it. Malfoy in headphones, all right angles and pale consternation, sits sipping a clear, sparkling drink, folding the napkin in front of him over and over again until it's barely the size of a postage stamp. What's he doing here, in a Muggle establishment, alone? He doesn't know why exactly, but he very much wants to get up and move over to where Malfoy is sitting. At least here, in this bizarre setting, Malfoy wouldn't have his venomous wit at his disposal. And Harry can't exactly stick his own foot in his mouth either. Perhaps here and now is as good a time as any to start from scratch with a boy he knows accidentally and altogether too much about. If only he weren't supposed to be waiting here for someone else. Where the hell is Adrock? Another 15 minutes pass, and Harry can't kick the feeling that Malfoy is watching him. He always looks away at the last second when Harry tries to catch him doing it, but he's not fast enough. Finally, Harry's had enough. He slides off his stool and walks over. He nudges Malfoy, who appears to be not entirely surprised. Harry jerks his head to the stool directly beside Malfoy, as if to say, seat taken. Malfoy shrugs. Harry takes it. It will be awkward if Adrock shows up, he realizes, since they know each other. But it can't be helped now. And part of him thinks Adrock would deserve it anyway for making him wait so ridiculously long. He should have left an hour ago. Malfoy unfolds the napkin he's holding and draws a quill from his pocket. Waiting for someone? He scrawls and lays the quill down next to Harry's arm. Gray eyes meet his. Harry is startled to find he doesn't mind. There's a familiarity to this face, so close and unguarded. Right, the fire calls. That must be it. He pushes back the guilt of carrying Malfoy's secrets unbeknownst to him and takes the quill. Yes, is all Harry writes back. He's not interested in explaining. The music playing in his headphones turns to an acoustic version of a popular song he's heard on the wireless. He stops to listen. It's sad, but hopeful at the same time. But Draco. Draco? That's new. Best not to dwell on it. Is persistent. Who? He writes. Harry sighs. Adrock, he writes back, bracing for a reaction. But when Draco merely raises his eyebrows, Harry finds he's disappointed. So he keeps writing. You know him, right? Draco nods. Very well. The very is underlined. Harry frowns and glances over his shoulder at the door. Might as well admit it, he thinks before writing. Don't think he's coming. Draco's eyes flick down to his hands, but doesn't write anything more. Harry is at a loss. This night can't get any stranger. He reaches over to Draco to pull another napkin from the stand beside him, since they're almost out of room. His arm brushes Draco's as he does so, and they both jump a little. The deja vu feeling is back, stronger. Harry picks up the quill. I have to tell you something, he writes, meeting Draco's eyes again. Draco looks from the napkin to Harry, but doesn't otherwise respond. Harry closes his eyes and rakes his fingers through his hair. How is he going to tell him exactly? Draco tips his chin downward and tosses a hand out beside him. Well? Harry shakes his head. Fuck writing it on a napkin like schoolboys. He edges closer to Draco and mouths, We need to talk. He sees a muscle in Draco's jaw tighten before he throws him an indiscernible glance and gets up. He walks towards the exit without checking to see if Harry is following him. So he is supposed to follow him? Harry's got nothing to lose. Harry taps down the stairs after him, seeing him shuck the headphones onto the counter and following his lead, out the glass doors and onto the sidewalk. Draco stops and slouches against a planter outside, out of the way of foot traffic, leaning back with his hands grasping the pebbled stone ledge, fringe falling forward and summer heat in his cheeks. He is vulnerable and standoffish at once. Harry doesn't know what to make of it. He sidles in next to him, leaving a few inches between them. Draco speaks first. So talk, he says, gazing ahead. Harry gulps and scans the crowd milling around the restaurant. Draco sighs. You're still looking for him, aren't you? Is he? Not really. He is curious if Adrock will yet make an appearance, but he's only looking at the crowd to buy time before he tells Malfoy, Draco, the thing that means this, whatever it is, will be over before it began. I'm not sure, he says. He absently studies Draco's hands, veined and taut in the sunlight, and notices something he missed in the dimly lit bar, paint around his fingernails. Just a tiny blue smattering on his thumb and forefinger. Wait. He tries to reason his way out of what it means. Draco delivers for Adrock. It makes sense the portraits might not be dry before he delivers them, right? No, it doesn't. He doesn't know what Adrock looks like. He doesn't know. But if he thinks about the vague picture in his head, the fading sunlight hits Draco on the back of his neck, reflecting off the pale, glossy strands. Fuck. Draco isn't looking at him, but he's shifty, like he can feel Harry's eyes on him and knows exactly what Harry is thinking. I work at the crisis center, Harry blurts. I know, Draco responds, picking the paint from his skin. You know? Ginny told me. Harry groans internally. He's not making this easy, is he? He takes a deep breath. I'm not waiting for Adrock anymore, am I? He says, turning his head and moving an inch closer, so Draco can barely escape meeting his gaze now. Draco closes his eyes before facing him with a melancholy smile. Harry fucking Potter, I presume? Harry doesn't respond. He should be angry. He should be furious. He shouldn't be happy and relieved and want to laugh out loud. He shouldn't want to drag Draco to his... Draco! His brain scrambles the letters, finally. Oh, he's a fucking idiot. He shouldn't want to fist Draco's shirt and drag Draco's lip to his and snog him six ways from Sunday in the middle of the street in Muggle London. But that's what he does. When they break apart, Draco is pink and stunned and deliciously undone. Come to mine, he asks in a low, urgent tone. Yes, Harry whispers. They've hardly breathed since they arrived, crashing into one another, kissing hard, shedding their shoes, then their shirts, pulling closer and skating their palms over shoulders, abdomens, hips. It's not enough, not nearly, for everything they've kept, everything they've hidden, everything they've wanted for who knows how long. But they stop, both of them, before taking the next step. Even though it's obvious neither one wants to. Harry, for one, is afraid of shattering whatever this is. He looks past Draco to their surroundings, taking them in for the first time. Draco's loft is nothing like Harry expected. It's bright, minimal, and damned if it isn't downright cheery. The pots of paint and brushes are organized on a desk by the window. And there are at least four unfinished portraits leaning against one wall, while a fifth one has been folded into a wire rubbish bin beside the desk. He doesn't recognize any of the subjects, but his breath catches in his throat anyways. They were living and breathing once, and someone misses them. Draco is saving them somehow, in his way. It's gut-wrenching. There he sits, fidgeting, presumably waiting for Harry to be the first to speak. But Harry can't. He can only keep looking around, taking stock of Draco's new secret life. Are you finished judging me by my flat, or would you like a few more minutes? Draco asks, palming the back of his neck. Harry remains still beside him. The energy has shifted, but not in a bad way. He doesn't know for certain. Just what Draco had planned, if anything, when he'd invited him. And he's even less certain now. What are they doing? He clears his throat. Begin as you mean to go on. He slides his hand over Draco's. There are a thousand things he wants to say. Draco? Harry speaks the name slowly and softly. Yeah? I'm glad you're still here. You know. Draco swallows and nods. Harry should say something else. Something a little more obvious. Not just here. I'm glad you're still alive. I'm sorry if I ever made you think you didn't deserve to be. I like you. You drive me mad. anything, really. But being who he is, he just says the next thing that comes to mind. "What's in the bin?" he asks, cocking his head towards the desk. Draco stiffens, only for a second, before picking up his trademark smirk.
"I don't know how you think household management works, Potter, but typically one puts rubbish in the rubbish bin. Or were you hoping to dig through it?"
He's hiding something, Harry is sure. He might not have known much about Draco's true personality all these years, but he knows when he's hiding something. He's itching to know just what. "There's a piece of art in there," he says. "Why'd you throw it out?" Draco sighs.
"Your observation skills astound me. Fine, have it your way. It's a failed piece of art. The first thing I ever tried to paint, I rework it every couple of weeks with the same result."
"It ends up in the bin?"
"It ends up in the bin."
"Can I see it?"
"Must you?"
"No, but I'd really like to." Draco doesn't say anything, just gestures towards the bin with a resigned grimace. Harry gets up and senses that Draco already regrets giving in.
"Just, it's not even half done, and the markings are impossible to get right. I don't know why I bother."
"Shut it," Harry says, scooping it up and unfolding it. There, in black and white, a snowy owl sits atop a gilded cage, the cage door flung open. Her eyes are reproachful and proud. Harry's embarrassed at how much it affects him.
"I hated caging her," he whispers. "I know."
"You do?" Harry asks distractedly.
"Harry, everyone knows. It's the only part of the war you talk about openly."
Harry can feel his eyes burning. "Fuck. Why did you?"
"I was going to send it to you anonymously once I was finally happy with it. One of the counselors, shortly after the incident, he said one of the ways to feel worthwhile was to do worthwhile things. I wanted to repay you for everything you did, everyone you saved, but it never felt good enough. Eventually, I moved on to other projects, more manageable work, created the Adrock persona, and went for it. It helped. So did the center. Before they started hiring just anyone, that is," he adds, twisting his mouth into a smile.
"Thank you," Harry manages, his voice hoarse. "Can I keep it?"
"I wish you wouldn't," he says ruefully. "But I suppose I'm glad you want to. It's all yours."
Harry walks slowly back to where Draco lounges and collapses next to him. "What about you?" he asks, trailing his fingers down Draco's side, holding his breath.
"Yes," before Harry covers his mouth with his and starts living the rest of his life.
The end. How to save a life? Where did I go wrong? I lost a friend somewhere along in the bitterness, and I would have stayed up with you all night had I known how to save a life. Reader's Notes. This was recorded for ITPE 2021 for Rattle and Hum. I hope you like this recording of your story. If you'd like to read this story online, it can be found at archiveofourown.org/works/15104582. If you'd like to download this podfic, it can be found at paticaproductions.com. Thanks for listening.